We live in a world of suffering. At times it seems that anguish and pain are all around us. Terrorism never seems to leave the headlines. War, sickness, death, they plague our world today. All this suffering leaves us with one burning question. Where is God in all this? How can there be such suffering and distress when the Bible portrays a loving God? Why would He allow these terrible miseries that afflict humanity? Does the Bible explain suffering? Does it reveal a God who has power over the universe? Now, if He has that kind of power, why doesn't He immediately put an end to misery? Stay tuned to Beyond Today as we discuss, Will Suffering End?
Join our host Steve Myers and his guests as they help you understand your future on Beyond Today.
It's been said, if God is infinitely good and infinitely powerful too, why should suffering exist at all? Have you wondered that? Why does God allow suffering? Now, think of what we treasure most in America. It's often been said, America loves its freedom. We defend freedom. We were built on self-determination. People gave their lives so that we could be free. We love the opportunity to choose for ourselves what we want to do with our lives. Now, if we step back for just a minute, we have to ask, what kind of God is God? God loves freedom too. In fact, He's given people freedom of choice. It's part of His great plan. Now, He doesn't force us to do things, but He does allow us to choose our way. The Bible itself tells us that. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 30 and verse 19, He tells us, I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. And He says, therefore, choose life. You see, God makes it very obvious that He's given mankind the ability to choose His own way. In fact, He even tells us that we're supposed to choose the best. And yet, some people accuse God of creating evil, that He created suffering. And yet, that couldn't be farther from the truth. God allows suffering. He allows evil, but He doesn't like it. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26 is pretty clear. It says, evil plans are an abomination to the Lord. God cannot be blamed for evil. He doesn't want evil. You see, people who blame God for suffering, they just don't understand who God really is. He created us with free will. He created us with the freedom of choice. He gave us free moral agency. Now, with that ability, it allows for a couple of things. Now, think about that. Since we can choose our own paths, that allows for both good and evil outcomes. Our choices can lead to different kinds of consequences. Good choices have good consequences. Disastrous choices can lead to suffering and disaster. I mean, just look at the world around us. Isn't it obvious? Mankind's wrong choices are the cause of most suffering in the world. When you really get right down to it, God is not to blame for suffering. He's not to blame for evil. We shouldn't be blaming God for our choices, for our bad difficulties and the results of our problems, the results of our choices. We can't blame God. In fact, there's an interesting scripture that makes it very plain. It's over in the book of John, John chapter 3 and verse 16. I call it the football scripture. You'll often see it in the end zone on a big banner. And it says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. God gave His Son, Jesus Christ. That's how much He loves all of mankind, that He gave His own Son to die for our sins. He doesn't want suffering. He doesn't want us to suffer. So most suffering then has to be linked back to the source. It's not God. God loves us. In a sense, it's scientific. It's scientific that when we make a bad choice, there are certain consequences, cause and effect. Certain actions will yield certain consequences. Your Bible puts it this way over in the book of Galatians. It says, we reap what we sow. So rather than blaming God, we need to turn our finger around and look at ourselves. We may be the biggest cause for all of our own suffering. Now, you might ask, what's the purpose? Why do I have to suffer in this life? Why is there so much suffering in the world? God could have made it a different way, couldn't He? Well, he gave us a choice. He gave us the opportunity to be like him. God chooses to be good. He chooses to do what's right. God doesn't make wrong decisions, and he wants us to be like him. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, gives us some insight to the way that God is. Notice in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. And just a couple of pages back in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, you see, that gives us a little bit of insight. Life is to help us to put on the character of God. God's working with us. He's not finished yet. We're supposed to be his workmanship. He wants to create in us righteousness and true holiness. In other words, his character. We're supposed to become like God. Now, as we think about the difficulties that we face, a lot of it is because of our choices, but there's some that can teach us lessons and help us to understand how to be more godly, to help us to understand God's overall purpose. In fact, there's a clue to this over in the book of 1 Peter. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. He says, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you've been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, that's telling us that righteousness and our character can be tested. It can be tested. Are we going to remain faithful to God no matter what life deals us? Are we committed to God? Will we continue to follow God? Can we use life circumstances to put on Christ, to be more like him, to have his character? That's what God wants us to learn. In fact, there's so many things to learn from suffering that there's more than we can even discuss today. In fact, we put together a booklet, a free booklet that you can order. The booklet today is Why Does God Allow Suffering? There's so much information on this subject that we wanted to put together a booklet that you could go through these different things and examine it for yourself. In fact, if you notice some of the articles in the booklet, it will help you to gain a deeper understanding of why God allows suffering. It has a section that talks about our world, and our world is just plagued with difficulties and human suffering. And why in the world would God allow it? Why would a loving God, a merciful God, allow suffering? This booklet will help you understand that. In fact, it talks about how God, how a good God, can cause good things to happen through suffering. So go online right now, beyondtoday.tv. You can download this booklet free, or you can order a free copy, Why Does God Allow Suffering? You can do that by going online, beyondtoday.tv, or you can call us toll-free, 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go online to beyondtoday.tv. It's free. You'll never be charged for anything on Beyond Today. So get your booklet. It will help you understand this gigantic subject of suffering in our world today. It can be a puzzle because we have to ask ourselves, why does God allow good people to suffer? You see, that fine-tunes our question just a little bit. Why do good people have to suffer? What's the use of trying to live a good life if I still have to suffer? Have you ever thought that? Is there a purpose that God has in allowing even Christians to suffer? The biblical answer is yes, there is. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. Notice what it says. It says, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. I mean, there's no doubt that Jesus Christ suffered on our behalf. He was beaten. He was scourged. He was crucified for us so that we can be brought back to God, so that we can be forgiven. It's part of God's plan. And he tells us that we can be like Jesus Christ. We can learn lessons from suffering. Christ himself said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 10, he said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You see, there is a reward for those who suffer in a godly way. The Apostle Paul says, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You probably know someone like that. You probably know a good person who suffered terribly. I have a friend who suffered terribly. He was in a terrible accident, an awful accident. In fact, broke just about every single bone on the right side of his body. A tragic, awful, life-changing circumstance. It was just terrible. In fact, I went to visit him at the hospital. And in the intensive care ward, as I tried to encourage him, he showed me such amazing faith, awesome faith and understanding that I could barely comprehend. You know, one of the things he told me about his terrible trial, the suffering that he had to endure, he told me that he was beginning to understand compassion for others. He was telling me that it changed his whole perspective. He now was beginning to understand what it meant to be dependent on God. Because oftentimes we're so dependent on ourselves because we can do a lot of things ourselves. And yet, in his terrible, tragic situation, he began to tell me how he could understand what it was like to be dependent on God. He told me that now he could understand so much better the sacrifice of his Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, he could understand how God allowed that to happen. Not that God by any means caused it to happen. God allowed it to happen. And yet, even among the tragedy, there are things that we can learn. We can become better people. We can become more godly people when we strive to see life and see suffering through the eyes of Jesus Christ. In fact, your Bible has so much to say about why the righteous suffer. I mean, we live in an evil world. We have to endure suffering. We have to endure hardship. And by doing that, we can grow in the character of Jesus Christ. When we face trials and we face difficulties head on, we're seeing them through the eyes of Jesus Christ. And our commitment to God's way of life becomes even stronger. That's what God wants for us. He wants those difficulties to build His character within us. Because when we do that, that can really bring about our best. We can understand when others go through difficulties. We can understand how to help and how to serve others, how to best be there for a friend who may be going through a trial. In fact, the book of Romans tells us a key to this idea of suffering. Romans chapter 5, verse 3, it says, we can even rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Now imagine that, rejoicing when we suffer. It says we can do that. How? How can we do that? Well, Romans tells us, for we know that trials are good for us. They help us to learn to endure, and endurance develops strength of character in us, and character strengthens our confident expectation of salvation. Wow, what an amazing change of perspective. This life is not only for building character, it's also for testing that character. Our character is going to be put to the test, and it should help us to understand salvation. It should help us to understand our sacrifice, or the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, even that much better. What our great God has done for us should help us to understand a proper perspective of suffering in this life. In fact, I heard an interesting story that may bring the point home even a little bit more clearly. It's a true story about a soldier in World War I. And this soldier was fighting the battle. He was out there in the heat of that battle. And sure enough, if a bomb didn't go out right next to him, just blew up his platoon. And they had to rush him to the hospital. He was taken to the hospital and he was wrapped up in bandages. In fact, his face was so disfigured through this terrible battle that they basically wrapped his whole face in these bandages. And all that was peering out were these two little eyes. And as this nurse came to him, all she could utter was, "You poor, poor boy." And she said it over and over again, "You poor, poor boy." But you know what that soldier replied? He said, "Don't pity me. Don't pity me. Pity my buddies over there. They've been hit where it doesn't show." And this astounded the nurse. She said, "Well, you don't mind that your face is disfigured?" You know what that soldier replied? He said, "Disfigured? I'm not disfigured. I'm decorated." Can you imagine having that change of perspective? And if we put that in a spiritual way of thought, when we're striving to be godly, when we understand suffering, when we're suffering for the sake of building character, God can use that to build us up. And ultimately, the trials that we face, the suffering that is out there, is a decoration that ultimately will be rewarded when Jesus Christ returns. There are purposes to suffering. Suffering can strengthen us. Suffering can even silence those who oppose God. Your Bible tells us that. It can silence the enemies of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 15 says exactly that. It says, "This is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Boy, there's a lot of people out there who don't believe in God. They'd look at us suffering and they would say, "See, there is no God. You don't know that. You don't understand." And they try to put us down and put our great God down. And yet, when we bear suffering, and when we do it in a godly manner, and we grow in grace and knowledge, and we put on the character of Jesus Christ, we put them to silence. We understand that God has a purpose, and He can use us and use suffering so that we can become more Christ-like. Because that suffering can help us to appreciate God that much more. It can help us to look forward to a time when life will be perfect. Can look forward to a time when Jesus Christ establishes the kingdom of God and this world will come to an end and life will be perfect. And it will help us then to appreciate so much more the good things, the good health that we may have, the good friends that we have, a loving family, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ paid for us. It will help us to appreciate that much more fully that God has a plan. And you know, that plan is the fact that God has a reward for those who suffer for righteousness' sake. Back in the book of Romans again, Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it tells us pretty clearly that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, it's an amazing thing when we realize that even though sin plagues us, even though suffering may be right at our door, we do have help when it comes to overcoming it. Jesus Christ paid the price. He's full of compassion. He wants to help us. Even though suffering is allowed to happen in our lives, our Savior knows what that's like. He knows firsthand, and He wants to help us resist and overcome and conquer sin so that ultimately we can be rewarded when He returns. He knows exactly what it's like. He wants us to come boldly before Him for strength to endure and strength to resist sin and strength to overcome. And so when we begin this discussion of suffering, we really come around in full circle. How does a good God view suffering? What does God think about it? He doesn't like it. He doesn't want to see anyone in suffering. He doesn't want to see anyone in pain. And yet, He knows it's only temporary. After its purpose has been accomplished, God is going to erase suffering and pain forever. There will be an end to pain. There will be an end to suffering. And He tells us very specifically. We go all the way to the end of the book. Go all the way to Revelation chapter 21 in verse 3. And we see God's ultimate plan for suffering and pain. Notice what it says in Revelation chapter 21 verse 3. It says, "God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain. For the former things have passed away." That's what God has in mind for suffering. He's going to do away with it. Now, there's so much more to discuss on this subject. How can suffering be a good thing? Is it possible that what you've thought about suffering is not what your Bible actually teaches? Did God intend for you to suffer? Stay tuned. There's so much more. We'll be right back.
For many years, philosophers and even theologians cannot explain why there is so much suffering. Now you can understand and have a solid positive outlook when you get your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? Just call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv and understand that although we reap what we sow, we can all learn to overcome our problems that are the causes of so much of our suffering. Learn how to handle your personal sufferings to become stronger, a more capable person, building permanent character. Grow to protect yourself from trials which overwhelm most people, knowing that one day suffering will end in a new world. You need your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See Beyond Suffering. Does God really exist? Scientists now say you can prove it. What's the best way to rear your children for success? Questions need positive answers to the world's greatest issues and your personal ones as well. That's what you'll get when you get your free subscription to the Good News Magazine. Call toll-free 1-888-886-8632. That's 1-888-886-8632. Or go to beyondtoday.tv for your free subscription. You'll be glad you did.
Our topic today is, will suffering end? We have a couple of guests to discuss this today, fellow hosts of Beyond Today, Darris McNeely and Gary Petty. Welcome, guys. Now, one of the things that I think is an important place to begin, because there's probably many viewers that are watching today that have to bring this home, make it personal in a sense, because they're suffering. And someone once said, if God's infinitely good and infinitely powerful too, why should suffering exist at all? And I think that's a good place to start. Why is that? How is it that a good God can allow suffering?
Because God is good and He does allow us choice. Probably the biggest freedom that God gives to each one of us, Steve, is the gift of choice. It would be a sad and dark and a bleak world that we lived in if we did not, as human beings, have the ability to make our own choices. And that's something that God gives, the freedom of choice from the very beginning of creation we read about in the Bible is what God has given to mankind.
Free will is the issue. You know, we make choices, and of course we have to live by those choices. But sometimes suffering is caused by not because of a choice someone made. I mean, someone may be born with a terrible illness, or a hurricane comes through and wipes out your house. You say, well, I didn't choose that. Well, what we're looking at is the fact that humanity, this sort of collective choices for all these years have cut us off from God. And because God is not directing every aspect of human history, we're left here in this world of making choices without God's help all the time. And we have to realize that there's a terrible price we pay for living in a world where we do have the right to make all these choices.
God can be a part of our life. We can allow Him to do that, and we can put Him off and say, I don't want you a part of my life, and we can choose to do that. But nonetheless, a good God can allow suffering, and they're not, just a paradox, because there is a purpose. In fact, maybe that's what many are wondering right now. What is the purpose? Why would God allow that? The purpose for suffering. Any ideas?
I think it's to become real. It is to, as human beings, ultimately come to the point where we become real, to get real. We use that phrase in life. Mm-hmm. I used to read to my kids a book called The Velveteen Rabbit. Many people are familiar with that book. It's about a story of a young boy who was given a stuffed rabbit as a toy. He loved that toy. The Velveteen Rabbit, within this fictional story, wanted to become a real rabbit. It wasn't going to happen at that point, but something happened along the way. The boy got sick. He forgot about the Velveteen Rabbit. In fact, he even had that rabbit replaced with a nicer, shinier rabbit. And the Velveteen Rabbit was going to be destroyed in a fire along with all the other discarded toys. And the rabbit began to cry in the story. And through that and a process of other events, the rabbit ultimately became real. As he suffered loss, as he suffered the disappointment, he became real. And it's a wonderful story to tell, I think, that point that suffering and some of the trials we have to live with and deal with gets us to the point where ultimately we shed the ego, we shed the veneer that we have placed upon us by our society, by the choices we make in our culture and our environment, and we ultimately become real in the image of God. And I think that is one of the biggest lessons to learn.
That reminds me of that story you were telling about something that happened early in my ministry. We're all pastors. We deal with not only our own suffering, but the suffering of so many other people. And early in my ministry, I was visiting a woman. I would go visit her all the time. She was in a nursing home. She was senile, and she had this horrible face cancer, which is very rare. And so she was deformed. And I would go visit her, and I can remember getting angry with God. Why do you allow her to suffer when you know, she's senile, and the suffering's going on. It didn't seem to have a purpose. And one day I went in, and I took my wife and my five-year-old daughter. And here's this woman in a wheelchair. She sees this little girl, and she goes, oh, all excited, holds her hands out. And my little five-year-old daughter runs down the hall, doesn't know her, jumps in her arms, and they're standing there, you know, she's sitting there, and they're hugging each other. And I got the message. You know, the message is, her suffering is teaching us compassion. Her suffering is teaching us love. How are we going to learn to reach out to others unless we suffer with them? And that's where God teaches us through this suffering.
Boy, there are so many different lessons that we can learn through suffering, that there are purposes. And probably as we talk, less time than we can cover all the different purposes why God would allow suffering. But ultimately, I think, on an encouraging note, that God doesn't plan for this world to go on forever and this suffering to continue. So will it really come to an end?
I think it will. For the individual, it comes to an end when we begin to make right choices.
Right now, you're talking about. Right now in this life.
In this life. I tell a story about walking down a street and falling into a hole. We blame somebody else. You walk down the street a second time, you fall into the same hole, and you think, well, maybe it's my fault. Third time you walk down that street, you fall into a hole again, and you realize that there's something wrong here. You walk down that street again, and you walk around the hole. Ultimately, you begin to walk down the street, and you take a different street. You have the choice as to which street you walk on, and when you begin to exercise that properly, suffering, in part, begins to end.
And you mentioned Revelation 20, 21, 22. Mm-hmm. That tells us when it totally ends. When God's kingdom covers the whole universe.
When Jesus Christ returns, there ultimately will be an end to suffering. God has a plan. Hope you get to know it. Stay with us. We'll be back with a final thought.
Learn how to handle your personal sufferings to become stronger, a more capable person, building permanent character. Grow to protect yourself from trials which overwhelm most people, knowing that one day suffering will end in a new world. You need your free copy of Why Does God Allow Suffering? Call 1-888-886-8632 or go to beyondtoday.tv. See beyond suffering.
On today's program, we've discussed, will suffering ever end? Now, even though suffering is all around us, we realize that God is love and He's not to blame for it. God doesn't like to see anyone in pain. In fact, in most cases, mankind is reaping what he's sown. God's given us free choice, and because of our choices, we experience the consequences. Now, God wants us to make the right choices and grow in character to be like Him. So there's hope. We can look to Jesus Christ, who suffered and left us an example. We can be forgiven of the suffering of sin and look forward to the ultimate reward of eternal life in the kingdom of God. In God's kingdom, there will be no suffering or death or pain anymore. So let's pray for that day when suffering will end. Be sure and join us next time here on Beyond Today. Thanks for watching.
For the free literature offered on today's program, go online to beyondtoday.tv. Please join us again next week on Beyond Today.